Well, hello again. Now I'm going to talk to you about my surveillance evaluation project as a part of the fellowship. And we looked at the emergency medical services data, and we also combined that with emergency department data to look at unintentional falls among older adults in North Carolina. For general injury and violence surveillance, death data, hospitalization discharge data, and emergency department data really make up the core of that. EMS data has been used for some injury-specific topics, but it isn't incorporated in ongoing injury surveillance. However, it does play a really important role since there are over 1 million emergency department visits each year in North Carolina, and a great deal of those are transported by EMS. Excuse me. There are a large number of variables, several hundred, in the EMS data that are compliant with the NEMSIS standards that can be mapped to these systems to provide additional information at this sort of level of the injury pyramid. So the overall goal was to really look into this and evaluate if this was a useful tool for injury surveillance. So to do this, we followed the CDC guidelines for evaluating public health surveillance systems. We specifically looked at data quality, acceptability, representativeness, sensitivity, and timeliness. And I'm only going to go over a few of these for the sake of time. We conducted stakeholder interviews with 15 different representatives at the local, state, and national level. This included someone from NEMSIS, individuals that work with our ED data, the EMS data, and then end users at the local level. And we also analyzed the data specific to older adult falls, and this did pop up within the stakeholder interviews and is one of the reasons we looked at that. So for this, we identified fall cases in EMS using the cause of injury field, and then we looked at the data for 2014 in both data sets, so we used ICD-9-CM codes to identify unintentional falls in the ED data. So first I'm going to go over some of the results of the interviews and then move forward with some data using EMS data around older adult falls. So the majority of stakeholders agreed that this was a valuable tool for public health surveillance, but everyone agreed that it provided additional information that we're not currently capturing in ED data. For example, race and ethnicity is available in EMS, and we don't have strong enough race and ethnicity data in our ED to really use that for surveillance. There's also some other information that was discussed earlier related to location of injury, as well as the occupational industry, for example, of the patient, and then some stuff related to motor vehicle and some information specific to falls, like height of fall. EMS data was found to be beneficial for this reason when used in combination with ED data. And several stakeholders specifically mentioned the benefit of using it to look at falls, and this is really because there's a more geriatric population that is seen by EMS, so they felt like it was a really good tool to capture that information. So overall data quality was really acceptable among everybody that we talked to. There's been a lot of improvements recently based on a concentrated effort by the Office of EMS in North Carolina, as well as local agencies to improve this. They've been making sure that reports using the data is getting back out at the local level so personnel can understand why it's important to get accurate and complete information into the PCR. As well as completeness, overall the fields that we would be interested in are overall pretty complete. There's some validation in place to make sure that you don't have a male that's marked as pregnant, for example. And in North Carolina, there's an informal score that's given to each patient care record based on the number of errors, and an acceptable level is 5. And every year we average about 2 to 2.5 as that score. Despite the improvements in data quality, the acceptability among stakeholders was more mediocre average, and a lot of this was because individuals that were reluctant weren't aware of the improvements in data quality. So they were reluctant to use it by itself, but were open to using it in tandem with ED data. All of the stakeholders we talked to felt the greatest strength was the timeliness of it, based on the requirement that all of the records needed to be completed within 24 hours of the event. This does happen with most of our records in North Carolina. If there is a lag, almost all of them get in within 3 days of the event. So for sensitivity, I'm giving you an example of older adult falls, both in the EMS and the ED data. So in EMS, we identified 45,000 compared to 70,000 in ED. So you can see right there by itself, it's not sensitive enough to be used for fall surveillance. But I did identify 36,000 that were transported by EMS compared to 30,000 that were transported in the ED data. So we're waiting for a linked data set to do a little bit more digging and find out why there's some discrepancies. However, in the EMS data, there are these other instances that we're not capturing using the ED data alone. So those that were treated and released, those that refused care, and those that didn't need treatment. So in EMS data, they collect data on every call that they get, whether or not they transport them. So that helps us pick up those additional cases that we're not capturing currently in that injury pyramid. So looking at older adult falls in the EMS data, we looked at some demographic information. The age groups and the sex was very similar and comparable to what we're seeing in the ED data that were transported by EMS. And this was the first look at race. And you can see there's the highest percentage of white, and it's not clear if this is really representative or it's just because EMS is encountering more white residents than other groups. The median height of fall was 3 feet. There were some outliers of like 50,000 feet, so I don't know if that's accurate or not. So that's why we stuck with median. Some of those were, I did look at intent, and some of those were intentional, but not all of them, so I don't know about that. We also wanted to look at primary provider impression, and it's not surprising that the majority of them were traumatic injury, which matches up, but close to 8% weren't. Those were for some other health event like a stroke, an MI, some respiratory issues, and I think that speaks a little bit to the relationship between chronic disease and falls, so that might inform some prevention efforts. So in conclusion, EMS data is valuable, but when used in tandem with the ED data, it offers additional variables, additional information, and helps us to identify some additional cases, but by itself it's not representative or sensitive enough for surveillance for injury. It did provide a better picture of older adult falls in North Carolina, and we are going to dig a little deeper both within the EMS data by itself and that linked data set to understand across the whole spectrum and look at other types of injuries as well. So again, another shout out to the fellowship, and I can take any questions if there's time. Thank you.
Race and ethnicity data seem pretty complete. Is there looking at the EMS data in Denver, it's not filled in at all. It's available, but it's just not. The variable exists, but it's not used. Do you have any sense of why it might be so complete? Is there an incentive to?
I don't think there's any incentive. I'm not really sure why it's so complete.
Yeah.
There is a higher percentage of white in the mortality data. I just don't remember if it's that large. So that's why I'm thinking it might be some of that interaction of who they're seeing. Thank you.
In Colorado, we've looked at the EMS data for listed assist calls among older adults, those who have fallen as well. I saw you have treated and released. Would that be kind of a lift and assist call?
I think so. I didn't forget to mention that I excluded any of the interfacility transfers, so that popped in my mind when you just said that. It might be that.
Okay, and then the ones that were not applicable for a health event, could those also
they might. I think we need to dig a little deeper, probably, to see that.
Right. Thanks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. One more.
Hi.
How many EMS providers do you have across the state, and do they all use the same data system to?
No, there's a different system across. There's approximately 100 agencies, so most counties have their own agencies, and there is some overlap. The vast majority of them use their own system. There is a system available through the Office of EMS that they get directly, but there's some issues with compatibility between systems, but most of that's filtered out before we get the data. I'm trying to address some of that.
Okay, last question.
Okay. Yeah, I had a question. I was wondering about, you had mentioned this might not be good for surveillance, but I'm wondering about, like, during an active disaster. I know you had NC detects, but I'm wondering about, you know, would this be useful syndromic surveillance, or I don't know, with chief complainant.
Yeah.
It would be a little bit more richer for, you know,
right. And EMS data is included in NC Detect, so there's you could do a drop down and choose between that, the ED data, and poisoning data. So in that regard, absolutely. I don't know specifically for falls by itself if it's great. It has been a really useful tool for the opioid epidemic, and I know they've used it to look at naloxone distribution in the state.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.